political subjects and taking on all callers. This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Gotta cut you down. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a doozy. Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, has a recovered recollection. He has a recovered recollection. He massaged his temples. He lay down, took a nap. He woke up, and he has a recovered recollection. It had slipped his mind. Turns out he was in on passing the fake letter. You know, I mean, come on, guy. Come on, guy. I mean, first of all, you walk along with a phone. You go on, you're on the phone. Younger people look at, they can tell if you're on your phone, right? The screen showed you weren't on your phone. He's talking into it. And that's really sad. That's really sad. Yeah, I'll have a ham and cheese on rye and a little potato salad. You know, you're not putting in a deli order, guy. You're not talking. Okay, then he puts it away, and then he keeps going, no, I don't know anything about it. Never heard about it. Staff to staff, not me, not me. Well, he had a recovered recollection. He says, now I recall. The guy did come into the office and give it to us. Okay, was it a bald guy in a raincoat and a fake mustache and a gun in his pocket? No, it wasn't. It was a congressman, Representative Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. Well, they asked Kelly, there is a guy named Mike Kelly in Pennsylvania. He is a Republican. And his press secretary said, Johnson's lying. It wasn't Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly hasn't seen Johnson in 10 years and has no knowledge of what Johnson is up to. Let me tell you my impression of all this. I think both Johnson and Kelly are not telling the truth. Apparently, here's what happened. Scott Perry, because I wondered, and some of you did too, who called in, how could a guy like Ron Johnson get Michigan's fake electors? You know, I mean, why is that something he'd do? Come to find out that one of the architects of the fake elector scheme was Scott Perry, who is a Republican, and bad news, by the way, congressman from Pennsylvania. And Scott Perry talked to Mike Kelly and asked him, another Republican there in right wing, how do we get these electors to Pence and the Wisconsin and Michigan ones? And there's a lawyer in Madison who'd been a Republican lawyer, and somebody from Perry or Johnson's staff, or Perry or Kelly's staff, called him. And then he turned around and got hold of Ron Johnson. That's what I think happened. So I think that, in fact, I know that's what happened. So I think Kelly's full of baloney when he says Johnson's lying and, you know, I had nothing to do with it. But Johnson's recovered recollection that suddenly he did have something to do with it is a day late and a dollar short here. You see what I'm saying? It's a day late and a dollar short. Because what he did was... the guy who's his chief of staff now, was on his staff then, called Pence's office or texted them and said, we have a package for him. This was half an hour before Pence was going in to certify the election. This was January 6th. And Pence's guy goes, well, what's in the package? what's in the package? And Johnson guy goes, well, they're electors from... Michigan and Wisconsin that somehow didn't get received by the National Archives. That wasn't true. They had been sent to the National Archives. They had been received, and the media has shown the stamp receipt copy. What he didn't say was they wouldn't deal with them because they're fraudulent. So maybe we can slip them to Pence through you. And Pence's guy goes, don't even send them to me. Not because he's a saint, not because he's an honest man, Pence, he's not, is because it was too risky and they chickened out. That's all it was. So that is the deal. Johnson was recruited by a lawyer in Madison, Jim Troupas, Republican lawyer, at the request of some congressmen from Pennsylvania to get this stuff to Pence and use Johnson to do it. And Johnson's in on it. So when he had a, it's one thing to have a recovered recollection, say, do you remember seeing that movie a couple of weeks ago? No, I don't. Yeah, I guess I do remember. It's another thing to say, do you remember slipping some fraudulent electors from Michigan and Wisconsin to the vice president half an hour before it was going to be certified? And you go, no, not me. Nobody here rest chickens, boss. Not me, not me, not me. And then you go, I had a recovered recollection. Well, you know, some recollections are kind of hairy. They're kind of big, nasty looking and hairy. And this is one of those. So I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next up to bat. What's on your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, apparently I'm a member of the 13 that Mark of Sussex was referring to, because I'm a regular caller, and I think I've heard Mark of Sussex from Sussex's voice in the morning. Heard him on other programs, but he usually has that line. It's the 13 that call in all the time, and you know, that first response is to him, bite me. That, but I mean, and Donald Trump was involved with Russia, and Bill Barr lied when he gave his little summary of the Mueller report, because Mueller said we could have cleared Donald Trump in this report, we would have, but they didn't, and that there was tons of evidence of obstruction of justice in the report, you know, because why would you obstruct justice unless it was something you're trying to hide? And Ron Johnson is clearly trying to hide something here, and the whole, there's going to be a whole number of slew of Republicans that are going to get brought down in this, are going to get implicated in this. And when does it reach the level of conspiracy, that how close do you have to be tied into this to be brought down by this, or be criminally charged in this? Because they were all, this is their last gasp to keep Donald Trump in power. I mean, and to keep this bloated criminal guy in power, I mean, I don't understand the whole reason of it, because if they had any courage at all, they'd be denouncing Trump and saying this guy is a crook. We were misled from the beginning. Of course they weren't, that because they have no problem with it. Yeah, I'll leave my gun control comments until next week now, because I'm kind of horrified by that, even being a gun owner, that I think it's bat crap crazy. That, I mean, there's words I can't say right now because the government can restrict my speech on words I can say, but they're saying that, well, the government can't control who's carrying what firearm where. That's insane. That the Constitution is not absolute when it comes to certain things. There's,
yeah, let me pick up on that. That's an interesting thing. You're talking about the Supreme Court opinion that just came down. I agree with you. They struck down a New York law that's 100 years old, and New York goes, if you want to carry, conceal or open carry in New York City, you've got to get a license and show, you know, why you need it. There had been a law in Washington, D.C. that didn't even let you have one in your home. The Supreme Court overturned that, and I agree with that. I mean, if you want to have a gun in your home, you have a gun in your home. But walking around Manhattan, walking around the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Times Square, conceal carry or open carry, you're just going to have gangbangers going around, and there's going to be violence. Now, the Supreme Court, this is Alito, and this is all the Republicans. Remember, Amy Comey Barrett got jammed through in the lame duck after Trump had lost, and she was voted on by Republican senators who lost their elections, who were retiring. And the whole thing's illegitimate. But remember something, even in the Wild West, remember, you know, Dodge City and all that in the 19th century, there were some towns, the sheriffs would say, you check your guns with the sheriff. We're going to hang him on a hook. You can have him when you leave town. We're not going to have boys going into bars and playing poker and getting drunk and shooting each other. Okay? And there's a little known fact. And let me tell you, there are weapons in the military, right? So the Marine Corps and the Army, you can't have a weapon on a base, a private weapon, or even walk around with your service weapon. It has to be checked and stowed. And you can't get to it. Officers can, but officers are presumably They've been screened and vetted and are not, and I think most sergeants are as good as officers, quite frankly, and better than many officers. But that's the deal. If you're a private, a corporal, up to sergeant, you can't walk around a Marine base right now in Virginia, Texas, or California, or anywhere else with a gun. You're not going to do it. And you weren't going to do it in Dodge City in the 19th century. The fact is that the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens, and Times Square, Manhattan, are different from rural Montana. I mean, they just are. They just are. And for the Supreme Court not to recognize that and basically adopt what's almost like constitutional carry, so gangbangers can roam around, they're going to roam around holding rifles, scaring the heck out of people. And then if they point them at somebody, that should be a crime. The Supreme Court could strike that down. This Supreme Court has gotten out of hand, okay? It's gotten out of hand where it looks like it's going to reverse Roe v. Wade. It's gotten out of hand on the gun thing. It has gotten out of hand. They are simply going to bat for the Republican platform, for the Republican agenda. They're going up, you know, it's not supposed to be a partisan court. The only thing it has going for it is this legitimacy and authenticity. It has no police force. And the minute that people say that's nothing but a hack branch of the Republican Party, that's it for that part of the government. This is disgusting what's happened, quite frankly. We're going to break. The lines just came alive. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. It's a brief break. We'll be back after the break. Lines open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Betsy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Betsy of Madison?
Hey, good morning, Matt. You know, morning. This does bother me about the Supreme Court. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're trying to destroy our country. They're ripping us all apart. I mean, with the Roe versus Wade that's coming up. And then why would they meddle into New York State's laws? And then they meddle in our gerrymandering. And then our maps are just totally skewed. I don't know. Our democracy is really in trouble. And then to have your caller from West Dallas not wake up to the fact that that former president was trying to steal and rule. And if they all fell in line like they were supposed to, this country would be a whole, our Constitution and everything would just be just destroyed. I just don't understand why people don't think right. God, I mean, really, the divide and conquer. I love you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Betsy, anytime. Betsy, I agree with you completely. And I'm going to say one thing. I'm very optimistic about our country. You know, I've served in the Navy. I've met people from around the country. We're good people. And it is true that Trump was this sort of Svengali. Google it. He's sort of this guy who, has this seductive personality. He reeled a lot of people in. Didn't reel you and me in. But think of the good things the institutions that stood up. The military stood up to him. He wanted the military to intervene at the election, seize the voting machines. They refused to do it. The media stood up to him. The major papers, the New York Times, Washington Post, the LA Times, the rest of them, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, everybody except Fox stood up to him. Barr finally quit because he was chicken. Pence backed out because he was chicken. But Rosen, Donahue, and Engel wouldn't go along. They wouldn't go along. And 60 federal judges wouldn't go along, even though some of them have been appointed by Trump. So cheer up, everybody. This is America. This is not Africa, Asia, Russia, Middle East, South America. This is America. We don't put up with that kind of thing. This is America. And in America, we have democracy. And the test of democracy is when you're able to stand up and you're able to stare down a potential autocrat. And remember, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. You have to be vigilant every day. Every day. Going back to the Lions, Todd of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Todd?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Todd. What's that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm sitting here listening. I've been listening to your show. I'm a truck driver. I live in Minnesota. But the last lady that was just on, you're talking about how we're destroying this country because we're turned Roe versus Wade. But yet, when the Uvalde school shooting happened, the Democrats all got up on their little podiums and, oh, we need to protect our children. We need to quit letting our children get murdered. We need to have gun laws. We need to take guns away because they're murdering our children. Totally fine. Go ahead and murder an unborn child. I don't get it. How is it they say protect our children from these school shootings, but yet it's okay to go ahead and murder a child in a woman's womb? How is that not any different? There's more unborn children killed that in a year than there have been in all the mass school shootings in the last 30 years. But yet the Democrats whine and say, oh, we need to protect our children. We need gun laws. But yep, go ahead. You can have an abortion. Makes no sense.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for calling in. And I appreciate that perspective. And continue to call and listen to it. Let me respond in a couple of ways. Let me talk about Uvalde, and then let me talk about Roe v. Wade. Uvalde was a case where these little ones were in there, and the door was unlocked, and the people that went, the officers, were afraid to go in, and they let the guy in there for an hour and 14 minutes. That's 74 minutes, and he killed 19 kids and two teachers. That is disgusting. It's unpardonable. And the point I've made before, it's not, you know, oh, guns are bad, but AR-15s in the hands of emotionally disturbed 18-year-olds are bad. They are bad. And I think that AR-15s should be characterized as military weapons, and they should be like machine guns. And therefore, if you want to fire them, I enjoy firing weapons in the military. Go in the military. Go in the Marines, the Army. You'll get your fill of it, and it'll be fun. It is fun to fire a gun. But not let emotionally disturbed 18-year-olds or anybody buy these things and commit mass murder. When it comes to abortion, I think a couple of things need to be said. It's a profound issue, and there are moral overtones to it. Roe v. Wade gave the states the ability to legislate on it, certainly in the third trimester, and even in some cases in the second trimester. What some of these things are doing, though, let's say you're an OBGYN, and you're performing some kind of a surgery, and you have to decide right in the middle of it, you know, am I committing a felony? Nobody casually, in my view, gets an abortion. And the sad thing is, if a woman is driven to having one, she will get one. And if it's not legal or medical, she'll get it from her roommate in college, or she'll get it from her buddy, and they'll butcher the woman. And frequently they'll get an infection, they die, they can't have kids anymore. It's painful and terrible. What drives a woman to have an abortion? I don't know. I'm not a woman. But I mean, if that happens, I mean, society, I think, has to take that into account. And I'm going to tell you an anecdote that was very meaningful to me. Heard a lecture from a guy, a professor, who'd been a law clerk to one of the justices who decided Roe v. Wade. And he said initially, and I didn't realize this, all nine of them were going to oppose it, the right to abortion, until Blackmun went to the Mayo Clinic that summer and researched it. And I thought, oh, well, he had his mind made up. He didn't have his mind made up. He read all the literature, and he realized how many women got butchered, how many women got infections, were killed in cases with coat hangers and that kind of thing. And so what they did was, they said, well, you got to trust women. No woman wants an abortion. I mean, no woman wants an abortion. But if they're going to do it anyway, you can't subject them to that kind of a sadistic thing. And so that really is the basis, in my view, of what's going on here. And so I appreciate the passion in what you say. And I met many people I know, many friends, and some relatives feel exactly as you do. I have deep respect for that. But I think in a perfect world, if you could snap your fingers and there were no abortions, great. But it is not a perfect world. And what induced the justices in Roe v. Wade, and Roe v. Wade is not an invitation just to have abortions no matter what, but it's to try to wrestle with the almost insoluble problem. What happens to a woman who is driven to do it and going to do it anyway, and in the old days would be butchered or get an infection or die? And you can't have that either. You just can't have that either. Todd, I deeply appreciate your call, your passion. Call frequently. We're going to a break. The lines are open. Don't hang up. I know who's on the line. Don't hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Looking for baby. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a big event. Mo Brooks, Alabama congressman, gave up his seat to run for the Senate, got beaten, is now going to flip on Trump. Mo Brooks was one of the principal architects of the insurrection. He asked for pardon. He is the one who gave the speech that said that it's time to kick a blank blank. He is the one who incited them to violence. He's the one who's afraid of criminal prosecution. He is a Trump lapdog. And when he ran the Alabama open Senate seat because Richard Shelby was retiring, his only opponent was a woman who was Shelby's chief of staff. Looked pretty good for him, so Trump jumped in to endorse him. Trump is very opportunistic. You know, he endorses if he thinks you're going to win anyway, usually. Or if he's very angry at you and vengeful and just wants to hurt you. Those are his criteria. Well, then it started to look like Mo Brooks wasn't doing real well in the polls. Because Mo Brooks is one strange ranger. He is one sick puppy. And the people in Alabama were onto him. And the woman who was the chief of staff to Shelby, you know, is pretty much a nonentity, you know, right wing and be no good in the Senate, but at least wouldn't embarrass the state. So then Mo Brooks did the unthinkable to Trump. Mo Brooks goes, let's get beyond the 2020 election and focus on the future. That's all he said. He didn't say that the 2020 election hadn't been rigged. He didn't say that Trump hadn't won. He just said, let's focus on the future. That enraged Trump. So he yanked the endorsement. The minute he yanked the endorsement, Mo Brooks sunk like a stone. And on election day on Tuesday, Shelby's chief of staff beat Mo Brooks. And Trump endorsed the chief of staff in the general election against the Democrat. This enraged Mo Brooks. And Mo Brooks announced yesterday that he will flip on Trump. He said, I will testify before the January 6th panel, but only about January 6th. Now, let's unpack that. First of all, Mo Brooks is not a lawyer. Maybe he is a lawyer. If he is, he doesn't know much law. If you're subpoenaed by the January 6th commission, and so far they haven't gone after congressmen whom they subpoena and don't show up, even though they could for contempt of Congress. But there's kind of like professional courtesy among sharks and lawyers, that kind of thing. There's professional courtesy among congressmen. They don't hold them in contempt, largely because if the other party ever gets control of the Congress, they'll hold them in contempt. So Mo Brooks had a safe harbor. But Mo Brooks isn't going to be in Congress after January because he's not running for re-election in November. And they're sworn in January. So by saying that he will flip on Trump and testify, but only as to what happened on January 6th, is bad for Trump. It's also bad for Mo Brooks. Here's why. If I'm the panel, I'll go, great, here's a subpoena. Show up, give us your emails and texts, and ask him about January 6th. And I don't think this guy has good counsel or any counsel. He'll hang himself. But then when they start saying, but we're more interested in the fake electors and what you had to do with that and the meetings you were at in the White House in December around Christmas where you cooked this up. And he goes, well, I'm not going to talk about that. Well, no, excuse me, Mr. Brooks. You don't get to give partial testimony. What you do is you testify or you don't. If he then goes, okay, I'm going to take the fifth on that. That's not, it's what he does not want to have to do, but he could do that. But there's a doctrine in the law that if you open the door, you can't sort of partially take the fifth. In other words, go, okay, I'll go a little bit down the primrose path with you. But then when it looks like I'm in trouble, I'll stop. There's some judges who say you've waived your Fifth Amendment privilege and you answer the question and go to jail. Mo Brooks is an idiot, quite frankly. Everybody knows he's an idiot. He's also crooked. He was in on the coup. He asked for a pardon. He asked for a pardon. He has a guilty conscience. He knows that he violated the law. He asked for a pardon. But now, out of vengeance against Trump, who yanked his endorsement of Mo Brooks out of vengeance, for Mo Brooks saying, let's focus on the future, Mo, this is not the Mo of Mo, Larry, and Curly. This is not the Three Stooges, although, frankly, it sounds like he's the Three Stooges. This is a guy who is really digging himself in deeper. If he were smart, he would have shut up. Frankly, if he were a patriot, he wouldn't have done what he did in the first place. But Mo Brooks is about to rat on Trump. And I just talked about people who ask for pardons. Oh, really? Ask for pardons? Guess what? He wasn't the only one. Andy Biggs of Arizona asked for pardon because of his crooked involvement. Paul Gosar, Arizona asked for pardon. Debbie Lesko, Arizona. The entire Arizona delegation. David Schweikert. Debbie Lesko. Gomer. Gosar. Gomer of Texas. Gosar, Biggs, Lesko, and Schweikert of Arizona. The whole delegation, they only have four congressmen, all asked for pardons. They asked for pardons. Mo Brooks asked for a pardon. Scott Perry asked for a pardon. Marjorie Taylor Greene asked for a pardon, now denies it. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan sniffed around obliquely. He said, I'm not asking, but tell me about the pardons. One of them said, I think it was Brooks, said, would you pardon all 147 members of the Congress who voted not to certify the election crookedly? This is not just a treason caucus that continually stabs Biden in the back, the wartime president, undermines our fight against Russia. This is not only a treason caucus that's trying to upend democracy itself. They're all scurrying out of the weeds, wanting pardons for Trump. Now it's too late. Trump isn't there. They have to understand something. Trump is not a grateful man. He's not a grateful man. He wouldn't give Giuliani a pardon. He doesn't give people pardons. He's not a grateful man. But Mo Brooks is about to rat on him in a stupid, clumsy way. We'll see what happens. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, you're first, my friend. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, at this point, if you're still on the Trump train, you have some serious issues. The man tried to overturn the votes that elected Biden. Don't ever tie abortion and guns and blame the Democrats for wanting to take your guns. It's not a very good argument. What happened in Uvalde was sad, and some things need to be done with automatic weapons. It's two separate issues. So that was very lame of the man to call in and compare the two. So that's my thought. Oh, and also, you're right, you cannot get on conservative talk radio or right-wing talk, whatever you want to call it. Most of it's owned by corporate America anyway, but if you call in, you're not going to be able to express your opinion. They don't want you to. They want people to listen to think that everybody has that point of view. So that's just my thoughts this morning. You have a great weekend, Matt.
Yeah, same to you, Paul. Thanks for calling in. You're absolutely right. And not just you, but Bill of Economwalk, a lot of other guys, they will call conservative radio and they get the back of the hand. Somebody will say, what do you want to talk about? Get out of here. But if they let them on, they let them on for 30 seconds and then they throw them out. This program, my program, welcomes all points of view. We welcome all points of view, and I'm very, very happy to talk about it. But the point of the matter is that it's not a two-way street, but so what? Okay, we're going. I want to get as many people in. Robert of West Dallas, you're next, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Robert?
I just wanted to add a few things. You forgot Matt Gaetz asking for a pardon.
Oh, Matt Gaetz.
He wanted it to be overly broad because of the child sex trafficking ring he's involved with. So,
yeah, no, thank you for reminding me that. Everybody, add Matt Gaetz. He wanted a pardon, but he wanted a special kind of pardon. He wanted a pardon that was blanket. It was plenary. In other words, anything you did bad from the day you were born till now, till Trump leaves office, you're exonerated from federally. What he thought he was concealing, and this guy is pretty lame, was he's being investigated for trafficking of underage minors. And he was going to take that pardon and go, well, you know, I got a pardon. Well, no, you didn't get a pardon. Thank you for saying that, Robert. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more. Don't hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty
one of my friends. Welcome back to Matt Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go back to the lines. Diallo of Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Diallo?
Morning, Matt. Yeah, a couple of things. The first one is about the Vice President, Mike Pence. If he thinks that people think that he's a hero, he's got something else coming. He right. should be walking by himself to the committee and tell what he knows.
Right.
We don't have to wait for him or to subpoena or anything else. I mean, he's the prime witness of a coup.
Right.
So that's one thing.
Yeah, Diallo, that's an excellent point. Thanks for calling in. And let me just build on that, because now remember something. This guy, I don't think he has any self-respect. I mean, Diallo's right. If Pence were smart, if he were honest, he'd go, I want to testify. I want to testify on television, and I'm going to say what happened. And I stood up to it and blah, blah, blah. He won't say that because, frankly, he wanted to go along with it. All the early indications, he wanted to go along with the coup. But when he called Dan Quayle and a few other people, they said, you're crazy, you'll go to jail. That scared him off. Suddenly he's posing as a saint. But the other thing is, I got to say this. Say I'm running for office. You know, you're running for whatever you're off. All right, so you're running for president, vice president. And the guy, Trump, goes, maybe you deserve to be hanged. And his reporters go, hang Mike Pence. And the mob comes within 40 feet of you. 40 feet. I don't know if you knew that. Next time you look at a Packer game, 10 yards is 30 feet. Look at the goal line to the 10-yard line. Then go another 3 yards, 13 yards. That's how close they got to him. They had constructed a gallows. And they didn't do that overnight. That had been going on for weeks on social media, and people were texting, here's how you do a hangman's knot. Here's what kind of support you need, the lumber. And it suddenly popped up. That didn't pop up just on January 6th, my friends. And then Trump's in the White House saying maybe he deserves to be hanged. And then Pence is going around sucking up to Trump. Sucking up to Trump. Going like, well, you know, I'm proud of what I did and my relationship with him. Instead of saying, the SOB tried to hang me, I got news for him. I want to be your president and I'm going to be a lot different. What self-respect is that? Guy's going to hang you, you know? Guy's going to kill you? He gets death threats. His family gets death threats. There's something sick about the Trump cult. There really is. We're going to the lines. Bill of Economwalk, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for what you do for keeping democracy safe. We can now kind of enjoy how the tide, how realities hit the people who like to drink downstream from the herd. And you know who I'm talking about. When you watch Fox, they wiggle around this huge elephant in the room without addressing it. They'll talk about dog shows. They'll talk about sports. They cannot talk about January 6th because they have no way to defend it. So therefore, don't talk about it. I find it really unique. You know, we've been hoping and praying that somebody would wake up in this country and take charge. I really think, I want your thoughts on it, we ought to celebrate Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. Democrats celebrating Republicans for doing one thing, defending democracy. Thanks and have a great weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%, Bill. I have the highest regard for Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger, and she's the vice chair, and she gives an opening and closing statement each time, gets to ask questions, and Adam Kissinger was the lead interrogator this last time. They have character. They flat out have character. And you can tell when somebody has character and when they don't have character. They have character. I am, I love watching them on this committee. And I just hope, you know, Liz Cheney is down 30 points in her congressional race in Wyoming because Trump's gone in and trashed her. And that's a small state with a small right-wing Republican Party. If I were Biden, I would take them both into my administration. In cabinet positions, they are terrific. The question is, can they get renominated for anything in this Republican Party? But they're standing up. They will go down in history as patriots who stood up to the United States. My hat's off to them. I have the highest regard for them. Thanks for calling, Bill. Here's a fact that people had forgotten. November 5th, 2020, 2 days after the election, after Trump lost, Ron DeSantis said, well, the state legislatures should override the elections and in those six swing states give their electors to Trump. That was Ron DeSantis. And the reason I raise that is this. The New Hampshire poll just was released and it shows trouble for Trump, but unfortunately, it's good news for DeSantis. In terms of the nomination, DeSantis now beats Trump 39-37 in New Hampshire. For the nomination, back in October, you know, what's that, 8 months ago, Trump beat DeSantis 43-18 in New Hampshire. Now New Hampshire is 39-37. I think these commission hearings have had an effect, a good effect. But DeSantis is not what we want. In a general election of all voters in New Hampshire, DeSantis against Biden is 47-46. DeSantis beats Biden by 1 point. Margin of error is something like 4 points, so that's a tie. But if Biden runs against Trump, Biden beats Trump 50-43 by 7 points. That's outside the margin of error. Republicans are taking note of this, and just hear this word from me. DeSantis is surging. He's seen as the only possible alternative to Trump. You hear about Pence, Nikki Haley, these other, they're not going anywhere. Cruz, they're not going anywhere. They're starting to coalesce around DeSantis. DeSantis and Biden are tied in New Hampshire, but Biden beats Trump by 7 points in New Hampshire, if he's the nominee, Biden. But DeSantis, 2 days after the November 3rd election 2020, he didn't need to talk coup, he didn't need to talk all this stuff. He just flat out said, the legislature should convene and change the vote. He said it publicly. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Like the great line from the Carl Sandburg poem, the great American poet, the fog creeps in on little cat's feet. It's a great image. You sit at dawn on a ship in the middle of the Atlantic and you see the fog come in, it creeps in on